shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Nordgren. And with us this week, actually, we're with her this week.
Yeah, we're recording, broadcasting, live on location from beautiful Nanaimo, British Columbia.
Our guest is the wonderful returning Noelle. Hi.
Hi. Hello from majestic Nanaimo.
Yeah, we're down in the slightly larger shack, actually down by the sea.
Yeah.
In your beautiful home. Giant-ass house with many bathrooms and a huge bathtub, which I didn't take a bath. Maybe I'll...
You never take a bath.
That's what they call my child when she goes out into the wilderness. They're like, ah, river of the house of many bathrooms.
She will do her people proud. We're going to have a lot of extra atmospheric noise today because we're not in a sound-protected studio, but, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, sorry, I have a lot of humming electronics in the background, I suppose.
It's the sound of a busy, bustling house. We've just been treated like queens this whole weekend so
by
far.
By God.
Yeah, we ate some delicious food last night.
I feel like I'm living in a Bon Appetit magazine.
Drank in excess. Oh, you know, I've become the sort of housewife that actually is, like, titillated by the new episode of Bon... Or the new...
Issue
of Bon Appetit. Like, I act... Like, you just actually touched on a little nerve there.
Yeah, well, I had a subscription to it for about 3 or 4 years, and I just had, you know, 48 magazines in my house that I eventually had to get rid of. But they are the most beautiful things, and they're so inspiring, and I never cooked anything from them.
But you actually do. You get the new issue, and then you, like, cook stuff.
You know, this is going to sound super geeky, but I really like the way they curate their recipes. Like, it's like a really nice balance of, like, something that sounds interesting and challenging, but also that's something that's, like, cookable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cookable.
Home,
I like that as a
the
word.
The home cook could do without, like, a terrible amount of exotic ingredients.
Yeah.
Although sometimes they tend to overdo it, like, recently.
Okay, you have a jar of lemongrass stalks just chilling in your kitchen.
Well, that was, like, because it was in last night's dinner, but I don't have, like, a
I believe
jar.
That you just have that on.
I don't have, like, what... ornamental lemongrass stalks, like, hanging around all the time.
You could.
You have a huge, like, huge jars of dried mushrooms.
It's true,
in your cupboard.
Yeah. I do have one of those pantries that's, like, lots of mason jars full of dried things and pickled things and weird spices from strange parts of the world, and that's become a bit of an obsession. It takes up a lot of my time, actually, but I, like, in a good way.
Mm-hmm. We were joking, it's like, you did it, Noelle. Like, you you left the city, and then you came here to live, like, not off the grid by any means, but,
no.
Like, but more...
We're surrounded by neighbors, by the way. I just want to contextualize that we're in, like, a residential suburb area. Yeah, so,
But still, but it's like then you're pickling shit and canning shit and...
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, why are you doing all that stuff with shit?
Well...
That's gross. You've really gone off the deep end. This is an intervention. Stop pickling your shit, Howard Hughes.
Yeah, that's some deep hipster...
Artisanal shit for C. diff transplant.
That's so gross.
Poo encapsulation.
That's
on
my
Etsy.
New. That should be like my new housewife food blog. Like, eat my shit.
Dot com.
Eat my shit with Noelle.
Wow, we got into corporophagia really early in this episode.
But anyway, yeah, I've discovered recently that I'm either too busy or too irresponsible for pickling. Most of my pickling projects go wrong.
It's hard to pickle.
It is. And sterility is an illusion.
That's the
title. Especially you have a toddler, and so there's just everything you
well,
do in the...
There's like this famous...
Obviously not the viewer, Sarah.
There's like this famous fermentation expert named Sandor Katz, who's given a lot of interesting talks to the New York Times and stuff about, like, how people, when they, like, make wines or they ferment things, they, like... buy bleaching solution and they dissolve it in water and wash out all their stuff, but, like, come on, like, you've got, like, organisms living on your hands and, like, your whole kitchen is probably alive with, like, multiple yeast symbiosis.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, like, still, it's not ever gonna be sterile. And then once it's sterile, it's gonna be immediately not sterile. The best you can do is just, like, try hard to clean things and then hope that it doesn't get moldy or that you don't forget about it like I forget about things for months and months and months. And then, I mean, who knows what variable that was or...
And then you open the jar and just something terrible comes out.
Sorry, I've gone off on a bit of a tangent there.
No, that was just beautiful. I liked that. I was like, that's really just a metaphor for life, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. This is what I'm saying. I'm perhaps too busy in, like, too busy of a phase in my life for
pickling.
Yeah.
You can't think that far ahead right now.
No, but you gotta, like, babysit the pickles and check on them every day and, like, lovingly skim mold off the top of them. Like, good mold. Like, white mold. As opposed to dark mold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Racist much.
Well,
oh, we have fun.
I wasn't going to take it there, but you did.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the joke in everything. I can never stop.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like I said.
Comedy.
I think I prefaced this very lengthy tangent by saying, this is going to be geeky, but ...
And I think that's kind of
show us where you're at, Will Wheaton.
But I've been making bread.
Have you been using, like, the sourdough that's the natural yeast?
Yes.
From the house kind of thing, or?
Well, from the house. I didn't
collect
it. We
were just talking about kitchen.
I wasn't, like, swabbing the house when we moved here, like, for this specific house, but I did get someone's starter at some point when I was pregnant. We were, like, house hunting, and we got, like, wind of someone in the Sunshine Coast on Craigslist who was baking sourdough, and they're like, I'll leave a jar outside my house for you. You can just come and pick it up, and...
That's nice.
So I picked up a jar of some random sourdough, some back alley shit, and then I brought it home and...
Craigslist sourdough.
Back alley biotics.
Yeah, and then I proceeded to have, like, a year of soul-crushing defeat every single time I tried to do a naturally leavened loaf of bread. They make it look really easy, but it's really not.
Bread making is very difficult, I think.
Yeah.
It seems so simple, but I've never really even tried to do it.
Yeah, soul-crushing defeat, and also, like, after 48 hours of, like, emotional
investment.
When it doesn't go well, you're like, oh, my whole life is a waste of time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's all on the line for me sometimes.
Yeah, you invest a lot in bread, but you've been more successful.
Yes,
recently.
Eventually I became one of those really annoying people that makes it look really easy, and I couldn't really, like, I could probably show you, but I can't guarantee that
we have any similar
it's,
results.
Yeah,
you
like,
had to fall in love with the culture.
Yeah, Adrienne bought me this book, and it ended up being, like, this incredibly complicated textbook that was just not the right thing to start with, and... So I got a simpler book, and then I had some success with that. And since I've moved back to the sophisticated book, and I have enough knowledge now, that knowledge was totally open to me, like a magical... It's the magic of learning things, I guess.
Yeah, if you keep at it, you get better, it turns
well,
out.
It's also, like, kind of, like, counteracting my greatest fear of going insane. So, like...
Oh, fair.
You know, so, like, I figured the more new neurons I'm creating, the less I'm going insane, maybe?
Yeah, the less chance... You know, they die off.
I guess
you're replacing some as you go.
Yeah.
Sure. That's how brains do.
Yeah.
And brain science.
This podcast is getting weird.
Yeah.
just constantly trying to learn things to stave off the inevitable impending doom.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just
also,
an undercurrent of anxiety in this episode.
Also, I think we live in this, like, age where whatever you want to geek out on is, like, just so available. So many people are also into it, and you can find each other really easily on
yes.
the internet, and you're all, like, talking, and you're like, well, your way is wrong, because I put 3 tablespoons of sugar, and it crystallizes perfectly, and...
Baking, parenting, it's all the same.
Yeah,
line.
Exactly, totally, like...
Your way is wrong, and my way is right.
Right, but it's, and then, but you get just, you learn so much so quickly sometimes, like... We were talking on the last podcast about how I went down the pregnancy rabbit hole on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've gone down the cooking rabbit hole.
Nice.
And then you went down some rabbit holes and murdered some rabbits.
Oh, yes, I did. I did actually literally do that.
Yeah.
I literally dragged a screaming rabbit out of a warren. It was...
Woo!
Well, I had to do it. I mean, sometimes you don't...
You have to do it.
Maybe we should contextualize this by saying you hunt with a bow and arrow.
I do, yes.
You don't just go reaching into rabbit holes.
It wasn't really...
Just biting their faces off.
Yeah, well, I hit, like...
I had to do
ideally,
it.
Ideally, you are killing them when you hit them, right?
Yeah.
but that it's not always perfect, and that's...
Poe Bunny's nervous.
I mean, ethical hunting is an like a perfect ideal state that we are always striving towards, but it doesn't always work out that way, especially when you're in the beginning of your learning. So anyway, I shot a rabbit, and then it managed to worm its way away, like, with my arrow in it, and, like, it was still alive, and at that point, you're kind of obligated to put it out of its misery, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want it to just die alone and scared somewhere.
Yeah, oh, God.
So I had to, like, get on my hands and knees and crawl into a blackberry bush bramble thing, like, it seemed impossible to climb into. I had to part the things. I was, like, bleeding from the arms and, like, had to crawl into this area and, like, grab the rabbit with the arrow in it and, like, rip it out of the bushes. Like, it was pretty sad. I was very shaken up afterwards, and I went straight home. I was, like, done for the day.
Right.
And then I went home, and I had to, like, sit on the porch and kind of, like, have a moment. But that's the reality of, like, most people...
Yeah, we're divorced from the meat production.
Divorced from the meat production, and... Yeah, so, and then you feel responsible, like, when you cook that rabbit, and then the leftovers are sitting in the fridge, like,
you
feel duty-bound to eat them, you know? Yeah. Like, it's not like when you buy...
Like, sorry,
Yeah, and but that makes me think about, why am I not feeling this bad, like, every time I have to throw away spoiled meat or something, because, like, this rabbit is special, or...
Yeah.
This is my special
I
murder.
Killed this one.
Yes.
This is one of mine.
So that I can take on its soul.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Maybe that's actually how it works and we just don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, it's not always pretty. And so I'm taking the hunting course. So you don't have to have a hunting license to kill rabbits. They're on, like, a list of okay to kill.
Because there are just so
animals.
Many on the
There's
island,
There's just so
eh?
Many, and they're not even native. Like, they're, like, an introduced... domestic rabbits.
Invasive
species
yeah. Basically, because they just keep fucking.
So anyway, I'm taking this course, it's like this online thing,
fucking.
And they make
they
you watch
fucking.
This series of videos, and they're talking, and like, the first part of it is basically like, don't be an asshole. And it's like, their example of like, they're
rule.
Like, you know, you gotta set in a good example for hunters everywhere, because like, most people think that hunters are like, rednecks who drive around in trucks and shoot things and stuff, and like,
hunters.
It's your job to like, put forth a good... blah, blah, blah. And their example of this is don't drive around with freshly killed game strung up on the hood of your car. And there's a photo. They hired some poor bastard like me to draw an illustration of this and, like...
Put a circle in
yeah.
No.
No!
It. Just in case you
yeah.
didn't get it from the, you know, description, which was very clear.
Right, because it's like, although that would be not technically illegal,
although
it
that
makes
would be
hunters
dope.
Look like assholes. Right.
Wow, the bar is pretty low.
Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't another one, like, don't shoot things from your moving car.
Don't shoot things from your moving car. That's actually, like, a law, though.
Yes.
Well, no kidding. It should be.
Yeah.
It should be. It ought to be a law, and it is.
So you're setting a good example for hunters everywhere by traipsing through the woods.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good that I'm getting some practice, because I can't imagine what tracking a wounded deer through the woods would be like. You know, that's what I'm trying to
oh
avoid.
My god, you're like Diana the Huntress. You're
yes,
so
and
powerful.
I wear deer skin leggings that are crotchless at the same time.
Whoa! You really went with this character.
I was actually imagining chaps, like deerskin chaps, but then why wear
just
pants?
Pussy out,
just
though.
Just pussy out.
Just in the breeze. You gotta get the wind on your pubes.
Well, it's just yes. the like, the odor distracts the local wildlife, and then...
distracts them from what?
I don't know. This is our, like, we're painting a picture here.
They're, like, cramming for their deer SATs. They're like, whoa, who's got the pussy out? Well, god damn it.
Well, maybe it, like, helps establish your territory so that other larger predatory animals
just makes it easier
around,
to pee
like,
on things, maybe.
The cougars are walking by, they'll be like, I don't know if I want to get near that pussy.
Just pussy out. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the cougars recognize one of their own. They leave.
Seems like a pretty fierce pussy.
Yeah, that's how it works.
There are
don't
cougars,
at us.
There are cougars here, right? You were saying that, like...
There are cougars
when you
here.
Sit out on your back porch, sometimes you can
that
hear
makes
it.
Me sound like fucking Cougar Annie in, like, a pioneer's dress with a shotgun thrown over my lap. But this actually did happen. Like, the third night that we were living in this house, we were outside at like 11:30 at night, on the porch, and we were talking, like, you know, you're having a conversation and you hear things in the background, and we had just moved from the city, so hearing things in the background is not, like, it's not abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear this noise, but it was, like, not the average noise, and Adrian stops and goes, "What was that?" And I thought to myself, I don't know, what was that? And in that, in, like, the 2 seconds that it took for us to have that conversation, it started again, and it was, like, at that point, I was like, holy shit, we should go inside right now. And like my heart like dropped, and it was hard to like sort of know what it sounded like, because like it was sort of around the corner, like it was maybe like 12 feet away diagonally around the corner, but it was like unmistakable, like watching a movie and hearing a big cat growl sound, like wow, like that, like
that was like the start of Get Down with the Sickness almost. Wow, well done.
Yeah.
Right, so, and we were like, there's no way that that's is what it is. So obviously, because like being, it's like 2017, the first thing we do is look up what does a cougar sound like on YouTube. And it was exactly like that. So then this, yeah, it sounded like System of a Down. So then we were like, shit! So we called the wildlife.
God, Armenian metal.
So we called the conservation officer, and like the call goes like this. I'm like, hey, so, you know, we just moved from Vancouver, so this might sound kind of crazy, but we're sitting, like, I'm over here in, like, North Nanaimo, South Lanceville, and we're sitting on our...
In the suburbs.
Yeah, we're in the suburbs, like, a residential neighborhood. My toddler's asleep, like, 3 rooms over, and, like, we heard big cat sounds. And he's, like, totally took me seriously, and he was like, oh, yeah, there's been a couple, there's a mother with her babies, and we've been tracking her up there, so, like, just let me know your address, we'll send someone tomorrow to, like, look around the area, thanks for letting us know. It was, like, dead serious, like, you know, I expected, like, sure, ma'am. Like,
no, they're just like, no, that's legit.
Yeah, that's legit, we've seen her, you know, she's got babies, what? Like, that's probably why she was growling. That's the other thing, she's like, so then he made me feel better by saying, you know, it was alerting you to its presence by growling at you because it heard you talking, and it heard you guys talking, and it was like
near right, where her babies were.
Right, like, and it had you been in danger, you would not have heard it growling before it attacked you,
oh
so you
God.
Were safe the whole time.
That's so scary, though.
Right?
You'll never hear it coming.
I know, so now, I mean, like, it's been, we've been living in this house for a year, and every single time I go out there and, like, smoke a joint on the patio at night, I am looking in that tree, like, right next to the thing, like, all the time over my shoulder, because I can't get it out of my mind, like, and also, there's this hunting store right up there, it's, like, the closest thing to us, and it's, like, the Las Vegas of hunting stores. Have you ever been to, like, a Cabela's?
No.
Okay, so, if you go in there, it is a massive, like, cornucopia of every possible outdoor and hunting, like, thing you could possibly imagine.
I have been through the catalog before. However.
Right, and it's all taxidermied, every possible taxidermied animal from, like, snowy mountain goats to, like, and there's a cougar in a tree that looks exactly like the tree that's right next to my house.
Oh,
it's like this pine tree with these, like, thingies on it, and it's, like, the cougar's, like, chilling in the branches, and, man, I see that in my dreams, like,
you have a lot, your concerns here are different than in our woods.
Well, yeah, also, that, like, hilariously enough, I've been back to Vancouver for a few times, and I was, like, outside of my mom's building at night, again, sitting outside smoking a joint late at night. Perhaps it's a little bit dangerous. And I was thinking to I was looking over my shoulder, and then I was thinking, you stupid fool, you're, like, in the middle of, like, Yale Town. You know, like, there's no cougars in Yale Town.
Yeah, there are.
There's so many cougars
yes.
in Yale Town.
Sorry, that was low-hanging fruit, but I just had to pluck it.
Cougars and sugar daddies.
So I guess it did, like, I've developed a healthy sense of fear about outside at night.
I realize I've become such a wimp about, like, the forest, because I grew up in the forest, and I used to just walk through the forest, you know, and have no real worry. And
at
now,
night in the Sunshine Coast?
Sometimes. Not always.
Where?
Not always,
like, where's the, what forest are you talking about? Like,
our back acreage.
Right.
We had, like, a big thing with a ravine
afraid.
And stuff.
Honestly, I'm scared to go into my own backyard at night.
Yeah. But now, like, I have more of a healthy respect. I guess I, like, have lived longer, and so I know that things are not great and that I should be afraid of everything.
Cool.
So,
well, this is good healthy messages today's episode.
Yeah, well, whatever. But just, you
well,
know, there's a healthy respect for the woods anyway. So now, when I'm in Gibson's, even, like, near my mom's place, like, they had bears, so you could just, you know, they had a bear that ripped their car open and, like, shit in their car.
Was it, like, Invisibilia or
That was
some,
a gift.
Isn't that podcast that we both listened to that was talking about the bears and, like, how...
Oh, Invisibilia?
Yeah, and they were talking about how, like, this whole town...
That's exactly what I was thinking
a lot of.
Of
these bear encounters and, like, a lot of these people have grown to believe that bears are not, like, by nature aggressive, and, like...
They have relationships with the bears, not, like, a sexy one, but, like, a friendly one.
A friendly relationships with bears, which eventually, like, I mean, I don't want to be a spoiler, but, like, it's not... Yeah,
it's not
gotta
great.
Gotta respect that wild animals be wild.
Yeah.
But, like... but, yeah, so the bears don't scare me nearly as much as the cats do.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
The bears you can usually scare off with, like, making noise, but cougars are like, what is that?
I feel like a bear could kill you but isn't likely to do anything, and a cougar would always take a chance to fuck you up but probably won't kill you, but you're gonna get really badly injured.
The other thing, well, actually, I always kind of walked around with the idea that, like, if you ever encounter a cougar in the wilderness, you never live to tell the tale, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I assumed, that you would get just so horribly, mortally injured that you would just, like, it would be this, you know... But actually, like, since getting into bow hunting and going to the Fish and Game Club and talking to the old boys up there, they're, like, so many people have seen cougars in the wild that I have met now. I'm like, oh yeah, I saw one when I was blah blah blah, so, and, like, hands-off kind of seeing one in the wild and then going the other way.
Did you see that Global story about the guy who punched a cougar in the face to protect his chihuahua?
I feel like I would just... freeze up, like, in a
just
nightmare.
Just throw the dog at it.
Yeah.
No, he loved his dog so much that for Mansell loved his dog so much, he punched his only begotten cougar in the face. Or something like that. Yeah, it was cute.
Wow. And then what did the cougar was just like, oh, God, stop it.
Rude.
It's just, like, didn't expect it. So it's
just
like, what the fuck?
I think that's most animals. Like, yeah, if you put up a fight... Mm. But you don't look that delicious? I don't know.
Well, since then I've been told to just, like, immediately put all your limbs out and start looking as big and intimidating as possible and start haul. It's pretty much exactly what you would do with a bear, but you don't ever turn your back on them.
Yeah.
God, so.
I think it was a bear, but it might have been a cougar. There was, like, some video where it was a guy on a bike and he had, like, a GoPro.
Oh, no, that was a bear. It was so scary.
Was a big
that
bear.
Is one of the scariest videos I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and he, like... was biking and then went around a corner and there was just a big bear right there and he was like, ah, and, like, sort of was backing away and then, like, got to a spot where he could, like, start biking away fast and then the bear was after him and it was just his GoPro where he turned back and you just see the bear, like, like, running after him. He made it, I think.
I mean, the footage did.
Yeah.
I saw one where this must have been similar, like, this guy on a trail and he got, like, he looks sideways and there's one cougar and he looks the other way and there's, like, they were attacking from both sides of the raptors and he, like, managed to fight them off with bear spray.
Oh my god.
But
nature is so scary.
Honestly.
I was talking about on the ferry ride over here, Katie, how I'm, like, afraid of bears that swim. And because bears can swim.
Yeah, the cats can swim, too.
And the cats can swim, too, but, like, my biggest fear in Gippsland is always, like, I bet there's an underwater cave and a bear is going to come out and, like, grab my foot while I'm swimming by. Not, like, any of the actual literal sea creatures
that
exist.
Well, like, an orca could kill
but
you.
But that's, like, that's the glory of nature, the crazy mystery of, like...
Is David Attenborough here with us right now?
I actually watch so much David Attenborough with River.
Oh, wonderful.
So, I... probably have to, yeah. But yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's scary because it's unpredictable, and then you're, like, kind of imagining things that are impossible. Like, when I was a kid, I used to, like, have a really hard time convincing myself that there wasn't a shark in the lake.
Oh, yes.
You know? Like, I was like, well, what if they were, like, airlifting a shark to the zoo, dude, and then they just dropped it? And, like...
This is our own glass shark. What if the lake had a shark?
Right?
Lake shark. Lake shark.
It would be a really great B-movie.
Yes.
Lake shark.
Lake shark.
Co-eds and the lake shark.
Starring Lindsay Lohan.
And Liev Schreiber.
As the shark.
As if he does mocap, yeah. It's just like the behind the scenes footage of him in, like, golf ball covered outfit. It's beautiful.
With Jared Leto as the shark.
Oh, God.
Oh man,
he was just, he went method and just ate a bunch of people because he's a fucking asshole.
Jared Leto transformed all his bones to cartilage for that role, dude.
Jared Leto got a very, very rough skin attached to himself.
Oh man, sharks are smooth as hell.
Sharks are smooth as hell, Noelle. I don't know if you know this. It's been documented by science that sharks are smooth as hell.
Never touched a shark.
They're very rough.
Oh man, I got to go to Cabela's, the hunting store, the last time I came to visit, because I bought myself my own bow.
Oh, that's right.
I bought a little compound bow, and, and so we went out and we shot targets in the woods. It was really fun.
We did.
I like coming here. It just feels really nice. Like, it feels like it's not that far away from Vancouver, but it's, like, very different, where it's like, yeah, let's just go to the old fishing game club and go to the...
You know, I feel ridiculous every time I even say fishing game club. You know, like I have imposter syndrome or something. Oh, yeah, I'm just gonna go up to the fishing game club and shoot off a couple of rounds, you know.
That's perfectly respectable. I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think you're an impostor.
Perhaps not.
Oh man, we've been on box wine.
So I went to a very interesting event at the fishing game club called a turkey shoot, which actually doesn't involve shooting at like any live turkeys.
Okay.
And they have like a collection of like 30 three-dimensional targets that are like an actual cougar or like a bear, full size. They had a buffalo, like a straight up buffalo. And they set up all these, like, trick shots, like, you have to, like, shoot it across a ravine or something, or at different distances, and so, and it's all bow people, but they have, like, different, like, some people are longbow people, and some people are compound bow people, and there's, like, a couple of people with crossbow people, but everybody hates those fuckers. And, like,
those medieval bastards.
Yeah, and, like, seriously, like...
Why don't you go siege yourself, Zacharias?
Yeah, and then, like, in the compound bow people, there's, like, people who just shoot targets, and people who are, like, just hunters, and, like, anyway... So, and then it's, like, a whole day event, and you have, like, a group of four or five people, but there's, like, 10 groups of four or five people, and you all rotate, like, from target to target, so your group, like, walks, and then you have to clear the next thing, because God knows nobody wants to get shot, like, randomly.
Oh, yeah.
Speak for yourself.
And then you get points for, like, how close you get it on the
I get points if I get shot.
Right, so they have, like, they had a Men in Black-style alien that, like, was on, like, a track, like, an actual track, and poke out from behind some woods every couple of seconds. And because it was Halloween, they had, like, a ghost that was on a track.
And you have to try to shoot
a ghost? That's not how you kill a ghost.
And then, so, one of the things they had, like, so the targets are meant to, like, be shot at, and then you can just pull your arrow out, right? But, like, they had some trick shots that were, like, there was one that was, like, a steel pumpkin with, like, the nose in the middle of the pumpkin was where you could just get your arrow in without totally screwing up and breaking and shattering your arrow.
Right.
So it was, like, you guys want to try? And it was, like, 25 points if you could get it, which was ridiculous. But there was this pile of, like, horribly mangled arrows next to it, like, because people were trying to do it all day. And it was a bit of a, like, well, I'm going to try it, and... So I got it. I got the 25 points, which is like,
bitch.
You know, I'm really not that good. So it was kind of, but it like, it was so close that you heard like the ping on the steel as it hit the edge of the middle part. It was like, ping, but my arrow was okay. So
nicely done.
Yeah. So apparently people come from all over the island to these events and there's like only 12 of them like per year or something like that. And it's this big thing. It was pretty cool, but it definitely felt like, very, I don't know, like, very, like, we're on to the country, to the turkey shoot,
down up the country.
Yeah. So.
Wear my big gumbo.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to come for that next time.
Oh my god, it's really amazing.
I want to see you make trick shots and I'll swoon for you.
Yeah, I mean, and they all make these, like, lovingly,
steel pumpkin
they all make these, like, lovingly judgmental comments to you, like, because you're a beginner, and they're just like, oh, yeah, you're going to be awesome when you get better.
You're going to be awesome when you get better.
You're
going
to be deadly with that thing when you learn to shoot it properly.
You getting razzed by the old timers.
Yeah, so then I went back up to Cabela's to, like, the Yoda of archery who initially taught me to shoot my... To Bill, yeah, who initially taught me to shoot my bow. And I was like, he's like, hey, you know, how can I help you today? And I was like, so, Like, I went up to the turkey shoot at the Fish and Game Club, and I, like, kind of started to babble about this, like, really nebulous problem involving, like, thinking maybe my bow might be broken because I suck at shooting, and, like, you know, and he's like, you let those fuckers at the Fish and Game Club ruin your confidence. Like, he's like, let's go to the range. And he, like, takes me to the range, and we just, like, all this yoga stuff.
Yeah, training
like,
montage.
Yeah, and it was totally like that. It was like, your form needs work, and he had me split an arrow, like, 30 minutes later.
Oh, oh my god.
I'm talking to, like, the Yoda of archery. It was like, from being, like, broken mess of nerves after the turkey shoot. So, anyway, I brought him some, going full circle of subject matter, I brought him some fresh baked sourdough the next day as a thank you.
Oh,
wow. Thanks for restoring my confidence, Bill.
Oh my god.
So sweet.
I was hoping that this would convince me to not want to move to the island, but it is not at all. It's like you did it. You scampered away to the woods, and you make bread and shoot things.
Well, it's not all roses. I mean, there is one downside of Nanaimo that I will share. Perhaps though it'll be like David Duchovny, and like all your hundreds of thousands of listeners on this podcast would be like, don't hate on Nanaimo. But there's like a mill here. There's a mill in almost every town, like in outside of the city.
Yeah.
And it kind of smells like farts for like whole days. Like an entire day will be like a fart day. And when we first came looking,
Katie loves it.
Just like,
it's true.
But everybody buckle up.
Yeah.
That's true. Buckle up, it's fart day.
I know, and it's so annoying every time I go out. Somehow it doesn't permeate the house. Like, inside the house is like a fart free zone, but if you open the window, if you want to do something. Yes, well.
You're like, that's... open a window. No! The part just, like, equalizes each other.
Yeah, so then you go outside and you're like... And it doesn't go away. It's like
some
a sulfuric...
Some days
it'd
be like that.
Yeah, the sulfur
it's like
smell.
A sulfuric fart smell. So, anyway, I mean, it's not always like this, but sometimes when the fart does occur, it's like, curse you, Nanaimo, and your farty smell. But we've been looking kind of casually for houses for... since before we had river, and a lot of these towns are mill towns,
mm-hmm.
and it smells like farts sometimes, and everyone's like, oh, well, you know, if you live up on the hill, you don't get as much of the smell in the summer. I don't know, everyone's just kind of like got Stockholm syndrome about it.
No, it just heats up and comes even higher in the summer.
Maybe,
I think that's how smell energy works.
Smellergy.
I had a weird like cooking/fart smell related incident the other day.
Oh, do tell.
Oh yes.
I boiled an egg weird. And
okay. How'd you manage that? It's a pretty straightforward.
Yeah, so I did it too short because Ed told me like the way that he wanted his egg boiled, like, oh, you put it in this way, this is what I do. You put the toast down and when the toast pops up then the egg is ready.
Make it yourself.
Very cute.
Sorry.
I know, right? So, but I put it in at a different time. He meant to say that it was blah, 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 whatever. So it was like a super runny egg still. So he's like, oh, I'll just microwave it for like a second. And I'm like,
oh,
you don't microwave eggs.
No.
Like, that's weird. He's like, no, 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 I swear it'll be fine. He nuked it for like 30 seconds, which is too long. And he peeled this egg. And it looked totally normal, and as soon as he poked it with a knife, it exploded.
Oh, God.
All over me.
Was that so hot?
It wasn't that hot. It didn't get, like, a little on my face, but mostly, like, all my clothes. I was about to leave for work, so I had to change, and it smelled horrible, and it was just, like, an omelet just burst out of it.
Ew.
It was so sulfury, and it smelled so farty.
That's
so gross.
Overcooked eggs are really bad.
Oh, they're so tough and bad and smelly.
Yeah, it just, like, he's like, well, it would have worked if I had done it for a shorter amount of time. I'm like, don't microwave eggs in the shell? Like, fuck.
Oh, in the shell?
In the shell.
You know, at that coffee shop that we both worked at back in the day,
oh,
they microwave their breakfast sandwich eggs in a plastic container.
Yeah,
and those things
that.
Are food safe. They use those. But still, I always felt it was kind of gross.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem right.
Something about a microwaved egg.
Yeah, even if it tastes good, it just feels wrong.
Speaking of that, can we talk about something randomly that
just
reminded me of?
This is your day.
Can I just air a grievance?
We're getting close to Festivus season, so you might as well.
When people talk about things in the singular, it's like, I kind of love it and hate it at the same time. It's like, I love a straight leg pant. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, I just said I hate an overcooked egg, but that was actually fine, like, correct in a way to say something. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, I can't think of an example that where they, like, singularify something.
A short leg pant really does clarify, I think.
Yeah. That shit drives me batty. You know, it's like when people hate it when people say moist or something like that. I hate it when people unnecessarily singularize things. That's fine. That's a custard is something that you could say, but you don't say a pant.
I'm not sure where the line is.
Well,
I don't
want to
upset you.
I'll have to come up with a good example. Like, I get a pant. Yeah.
Yeah.
A pant.
That's just fashion people talk.
I guess so.
Flowers. Spring. Groundbreaking.
When you said David Duchovny, it reminded me of, he was in town playing the Imperial, because he has a band, sort of country-y. It's pretty good, like, I was listening to some of his music. It's not groundbreaking by any means, it's very much like dad rock.
David
kinda.
Dad Duchovny is what I was thinking.
But, so the Imperial is right at Main and Hastings, and it's right by the Number 5 Orange. And the Number 5 Orange marquee, that's the strip club, the marquee said, David Duchovny, you are still banned.
Just reminded me I never emailed them my release. I should do that. The X-Files wants to use my painting in the background of season 2.
That's so cool. That's so rad.
You're gonna have
to. Should totally do that, because I'm apparently not gonna have any bragging rights at all if I never email the release to them.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's like you're on the X-Files.
It's kind of like that.
So, David Duchovny plays country music?
I was hoping that you'd go with that he's banned from the Number 5 Orange Strip Club.
Well, it doesn't I know Ben Affleck's banned from Brandy's.
I'm sorry, it was just, there were so many aspects of that story that are, like, hard to wrap
around
my brain, and I'm a little bit hungover.
Yeah, he plays kind of country music. He's, like, really trying to diversify his portfolio. He wrote a book, like, a novel, it was, like, a fiction thing. Wasn't very good. You know, but he's just, like,
I hope you're listening right now, David Duchovny.
Get fucked, David Duchovny.
Really? Do we not, like...
I don't care. He's fine. I'm just saying, like, he has confidence he probably doesn't deserve.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's when we talk about any famous man, I like how you checked it. It's like, oh, is he... Do we find out some more about it?
I don't think he's a great guy, but I don't know if he's a bad guy.
He's with the sex addiction thing, but
he went to treatment for sex addiction.
That was like, he dodged a bullet
there. He rode a horse.
I mean, if he'd have come out with that shit right now, we probably wouldn't be seeing him on television anymore because we're like in a shun sort of mood as a society.
Yeah,
whereas
everybody
like before, everyone forgave David Duchovny for whatever his supposed...
I think he just cheated. I don't think he actually...
There were no minors involved, thankfully.
He was just a dirty cheater.
Just a bit of a skeeze, you know.
Yeah.
That's
just
fine.
A regular asshole.
Just a skeezy consenting adult.
Not like a asshole plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are, you know.
But what bothers me about this is like, you know, you're either talking about crimes or not talking about crimes. Like, why can't we prosecute these fucking crimes?
There's never evidence for social crimes. It just doesn't work in the court system. There's no way to prove shit. It doesn't leave evidence like other things
I
do.
I would really like to think that we live in the sort of world where we could make revisions to the fucking justice system to fix problems like this. You know, maybe
that's
cool? Maybe that's wishful thinking.
I'm pretty sure it is.
But like, is there a solution? I hate to be that sort of person. Adrian and I have a rule in our relationship that if you're gonna like poo-poo someone's suggestion of what to watch on television, you have to suggest something as an alternative.
Okay.
And that it's, I mean, that's, I think,
quite
it's
a
pretty
rule.
Good life lesson, guys. So like, seriously though, can't we like set up some sort of anonymous fucking something, and then maybe if you get enough tips about the same person, they like,
yeah, once it's
it.
Like rule of three,
yeah, maybe
or
even
yeah,
if people get raped,
that's oh gosh.
Yeah,
I'm joking, but you
no,
know
that's
what I mean.
The that's what we're doing in the comedy community right now. We have a reporting form that's going to be
cool.
Beta
see?
Tested, basically.
Really?
That is, again, for, like, repeat stuff. Like, to see patterns of behavior. Like,
yeah.
If somebody's a repeating offender, it's not just somebody who's been awkward
harm
a few times,
reduction.
But somebody who's...
Yeah.
Not harm-fixing everything.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
not like, we'll
and
put
if,
these people in jail. It's like, well, they won't be booked for a while until they, like, prove that they've changed.
Yeah,
basically.
How do you prove that you're no longer... gonna sexually harass someone. I can
you
just
do restorative justice stuff. And you, like, apologize publicly or something. Who knows?
This is what I've been wondering, though. This is an important question. What would we like to happen
Guillotine.
To these people? Because...
Guillotine!
In all fairness, you know, like, without the ability to try people in a court of law...
To take their heads off their bodies with a machine that's made for this thing. No, I'm joking, obviously. I don't want to guillotine people.
Mm-hmm. But, like,
it
what...
is occasionally tempting.
What's sufficient?
Like, if we're not going to try these...
ashes.
Some kind of, like, public reckoning, though.
Because, because seriously, do we all live in a world where you can't, like, atone for something that you've done? Like, do we really... I know that that's super horrible, because I realize that, like, a rapist has, like, a personality flaw that causes them to be a rapist that is, like, makes them a criminal that you wouldn't want in society. So, right? Like, I get that. Mm-hmm. And I get that, like, there isn't anything that a rapist could do, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe. Is there? This is what I'm saying. This
yeah,
is an
so
important
like,
question.
The things that I would like, you know, is, like, public apology, acknowledgement of harms done or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Responsibility taken.
Maybe they lose some of their, like, especially if they're in a privileged position of, like, power and they were exercising their power to, like, dominate people or whatever. Maybe they lose some of that stuff for a while. Doesn't have to be forever. But, you know, like, Louis C.K., like, yeah,
so hasn't that sort of happened?
Your movie premiere and whatever.
I mean,
and
minus
then,
the perfect wording of the perfect apology.
Yeah.
Hasn't that sort of happened? I mean, these people have been ostracized and, like, their names dragged through the mud in, like, I'm not saying that it's as bad as what they did. I'm just saying, like, what's enough?
You didn't let me finish.
Sorry, I'm not just...
But, like, to have some of that go away, and then, like, maybe time has to go by, and then in 5 years, like, we see, have they continued their behavior, like, in a sneaky, gross way? Or, like, then you can be welcomed back in if you've learned and you've actually changed, but it's not something that can happen right away. It has to be over time, so they have to suffer some consequences.
It's an important point.
And
suppose
then
you can't
and,
like immediately prove that you've changed, and anyone who says that is lying.
Yeah, totally. Oh well, I totally learned my lesson, and it's fine. It's like, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, like
we'll see, won't we?
I went to rich people's sex addiction camp, and I rode two horses, and now I don't rape anymore. Like, okay, Harvey.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah. We'll see.
But you know, like I think over time is an important component because you know. We're saying, like, folks that, you know, maybe they were a fucking creep when they were 20 and they forced a girl to do something, whatever, but then they learned and didn't do it ever again, and now they're, like, in their 40s. I'm not going to be like, well, he was a creep then, and so he's totally ostracized.
Yeah.
It's like, over time, we see that there was not a pattern, and you learned and you grew, so I'm not going to, like, shit on someone for that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so subjective, right? Like, that's why the justice system doesn't work for it, because it's so nuanced, and crimes, like, that people do to each other, like, that are personal and that don't, you know, involve...
Well, and I mean, if it's not... This is why I sort of hate, like, discussions about what constitutes rape and what constitutes sexual assault, because it's, like, such a gray area, and, like, you know, if you feel that you've been... Your space has been violated, shouldn't that be enough? And yada, yada, yada. What became most disturbing to me when this story dropped about Weinstein was about those decisions that we all make whenever it happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? About, like, what are the far-reaching implications of me making a big deal about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've made those decisions before, and I thought back to myself at that age and that maturity level and was sort of sad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, and the same thing, too. I mean, it was, I spoke about it to people at the time, and they were like, well, you know, you can't blame him for trying. And it was just so, they made me feel like I was making a big deal about nothing.
Yeah,
the culture
really, like, self-perpetuates that kind of, like, protection thing, which is
shitty.
Yeah, so... I feel like now Weinstein's name is going to become a verb. Like, don't Weinstein me. Like, like Santorum.
Just like he's such a
such a
gross example of it. Like, it's such a far-reaching and such an extended amount of time.
And because he was so blunt about just, like, do this or you won't get work. Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, and that's caught on tape, basically, him saying, like, I'm going to destroy your career.
Yeah.
So,
whereas, like,
it was so mindful and so, like, intentional.
Whereas other people, like, you know, oh, well, I'm not gonna report this person because it might screw up my career, even if no one's ever threatened that, like, if the person didn't threaten that explicitly, you're still like, I don't want to cause a fuss because it's gonna
fuck up my
reputation to work with or whatever, which is terrible.
There's so many women, like, well, like, Rose McGowan is not as successful as she could be because of what happened to her, and, like, who is the other example I was thinking? Sean Young, from Blade Runner, the original one. She played, like...
Yeah, what happened to her?
James Woods ran her out of Hollywood, basically. She's bipolar, and, and she... I think she accused him of assault, and then he basically blacklisted her. And she did have, like, a break at one point and did some kind of absurd stuff to try to get into the Batman casting, I think it was, but... Like, she made her own Catwoman costume or something, and so, it's like, she was just an intense person, but she was a very talented actress, and she just, like, pretty much didn't work again. Because, like, a bunch of people were like, this crazy bitch, like, they probably slept with her, and then, like, threw her aside, and then when she was like, what the fuck, they're just like, oh, she's crazy. And so, yeah, she, like, probably does, like, furniture commercials or something now, which is such a fucking bummer.
You ever seen that, like, I mean, there was a lot of sound bites of people saying interesting and foreshadowing things circulating around when this was happening.
With Courtney Love?
Well, it was like, who was it? Dave Chappelle talking about Martin Lawrence's downfall or something because apparently he like went, maybe I'm not even thinking of the right person, but he like did some crazy shit in the street yelling about how they were after him and they were trying to kill him or something like that. And Dave Chappelle was saying, you know, he's like, everybody that you see up here in the upper echelons of like the famous people, there's no weak people. You know, he's like, you cannot be a weak person to get to this point. So if you can imagine all these people who are like doing these things, are driven to a point where they're like crazy in the street, you can try to like understand that that's like an extremely unhealthy environment that they're in all the time. And that it would do that to those very strong people who have done, you know, have...
They work so hard to get where they
are. Realize their dreams, and, yeah, so, I mean, and to some extent, it's sort of, like, what we were talking about how, like, kind of, to some, like, to be a really great artist, a lot of the time, you end up also being a bit of a loose cannon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's somewhat true, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Armchair psychology with Noel Planet. I told you I was only an expert on a few things, and that's not one of them.
Yeah, no, I think it's really opening up just how toxic fame is. Like, it's rare that we have this extended sort of ripped open view of Hollywood's, like, underbelly.
And I don't really find it surprising.
No, none of it's shocking. It's all kind of what we expected, but to see it laid bare and explicit is really alarming. We're like, oh, it is worse than we thought, and it is everywhere.
And, like, I hate to be defeatist, but I feel like this is a theme lately. Like, we're seeing the seedy underbelly of the White House in a way that we never got to see it before. We're seeing the seedy underbelly of, like...
Turns out we're all seedy.
Yeah, but like, but what happens as a result? Like, I feel like nothing happens. We get all butthurt about something, and it's huge news for a while, and then like, we don't like. Where's the far-reaching impact of this?
Status quo.
Like, yeah.
So much to push it in a different direction. Like, this is just the beginning of it, right? Like, upheaval takes forever.
Yeah, I bet you have all those like powerful people who are still powerful. They still.
It's amazing. They're just like, yeah, I'm a criminal, and
I'm
not.
I'm
just like, I'm a criminal, and I'm doing this for myself, and there's nothing you can do about it. And you're gonna vote me in anyway because I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
And this is like Alabama, or whatever. It's just so the status quo. It takes a lot. Takes a village.
It's that metaphor of, like, it's a huge battleship, and then you're trying to just, like, turn it around slowly, and it just, like...
Oh, deep!
You know, you take the little tugboat, and you're just trying to pull the ship, but then once you get enough momentum, then it suddenly all turns. So it's like, we're on the precipice, but I've been saying this for, like, 10 years. Oh, we're just about to... Oh, it looks like
it's
you know...
It's a pretty long precipice.
It's the death rattle of all these powerful people, and they're being extra shitty because they know that their time is up, you know?
Yeah.
But then I'm like,
I've been
saying that for...
literally dying.
I've been saying that for a long time. Yeah, a lot of them are getting old and dying, so that's
like, wasn't
good.
Bob going on about, like, reading some massive book when we were in our 20s about, like, Lyndon Johnson's horribly obscene rise to power? Or maybe it wasn't even, maybe that I'm thinking the wrong historical figure, but it's like a famous president who had just done horrible things behind closed doors to get to where he was, like surely on par with whatever Trump has done, minus colluding with the Russians perhaps, but like anyway, the point is, it's more visible now, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't like a bunch of bad shit happening behind closed doors like 50 years ago.
Or, like, just in all of history, like, any rise to power. Right? Like,
is
you
it
know,
not
I,
yet, like,
I read
all
a lot
those...
of, like, Roman books. It's like, people were just murdering each other.
Yeah.
And doing
it was
way,
they were supposed to, they'd be like, it wasn't just like, oh, well, you know, we're gonna slowly and painfully undermine your bill. It'd be like, I'm gonna stab you on the Senate floor.
Yeah. That happens.
I'm just gonna... We should just totally stab Caesar!
Let's just stab him! Anyway, I suppose we should wrap this up because I can hear my toddler toddling around out there.
She's going to be a special guest on the podcast.
Oh my god, I wish I could make her perform like a little monkey and she could come in here and do the cute babbling that she does every once in a while, but I don't,
so
probably won't go very well. She'll probably be like, I want all the objects on this table.
No, she is... so cute,
yes.
And cannot be condensed
but
into
she can't,
one little
yes.
thing.
And she can't, you can't make demands because she won't perform.
No, she's her own person.
I have so many moments, like, I guess it's just like, this is such a ridiculous thing to share, but it will anyway. So the modern parent, you know, where you're like, having a moment with your child, and it's like a loving, heartwarming moment where they're doing something adorable, and you feel real joy in whatever, like, the rest of your day would be stressful or whatever, and you're, like, honestly elated, but then sort of bittersweet because you can't, like, simultaneously be capturing the perfect moment on film.
Right.
Like, because it's like, oh, this is the cutest dance she's ever done, where's my camera? You know? But I try not to have those thoughts, too, because it's like, enjoy reality, stupid fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, yeah, because she's not
that's
gonna,
me talking to myself, not
yeah.
to everyone else who takes photos, because I appreciate
no,
like,
enjoy reality, you stupid fuck. That's the take-home today.
Yeah, because she's not going to be this age.
Yeah, like, stop reaching for the... I get, yeah, sure, but how many thousands of photos do I need of my daughter? I have lots.
7,000.
Yeah, but then you need lots to send to me, because
yeah,
I have them.
But the point of the matter, the point is that I can't make her do the cute things live, because
yeah.
she won't. So you kind of do have to film them at the perfect moment sometimes, I guess.
You just need a perfect film crew around all the time.
Yeah, let's just turn this shit into the Kardashian show.
Just for the two of us, though.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
All.
I could, like, become really vapid and start talking with Bowl Fry. Do I? Maybe? Maybe I don't know. Anxiety.
You're good. You're not a Kardashian.
Enjoy reality, fucko.
Well, that was really nice. Thanks for pampering us this weekend.
What a great
was
little getaway.
Because I'm feeling a little bit like my brain's sort of short-circuiting.
Yeah, that's good. We've had lots of good discussions this whole weekend, and
yeah.
none of them captured. Oh, River, come
we should
in.
Let her in. We should let her in.
All right,
maybe it'll
here
work
comes
out.
A baby.
Hey, River. Come on in.
You want to say hi? You say bye-bye?
No, nope.
She waved though. She
not
waved.
Very, not very.
That was technically correct.
Yeah, not very helpful for an audio medium,
yeah.
My little friend. Okay, well, we'll see you guys next week. I hope that everyone had a really good, relaxing weekend, and
yeah.
We'll be back here again for more pampering.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, bye.